Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Coalition Victory. This is episode 5, where we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Modern GP in Richmond, and we're going to go over the standard metagame from the Born of the Gods game day tournaments. I'm your host, John Walls, and I'm joined today by a bunch of the members of Team Victory. Toops is here with us as normal.
Back again as always.
Brock is joining us again this week.
Hello everybody.
Ford is back.
I'm back, everyone.
And Jamie is here again.
I'm still here, yes.
Let's start off with, as usual, Magic. What we've done this week, what we've kind of played. I'm going to start with Toops. I always just go left to right. Toops, you're up first.
Oh, well, mine's super quick. I played in one round of a game day, found out that we weren't cutting to top 8, and booked it.
Good stuff. Brock.
Yeah.
I played in game day at our little place we call it the Secret Spot, because that was the place I could get a ride to, because I'm unable to drive right now due to my knee, not a DUI. Don't worry about that. I ended up winning with blue-white control, so it was a pretty good 6 rounds for me out there.
Ford, I know you've been playing a ton of Magic.
Yeah, I've been playing a ton. I played in both game days at Victory Comics, 2-2 the first one, and then 4-0 the second one with my and one, so didn't even need the top 8 with my black-white with some cuts, and then I played some Magic Online and managed to win 40 packs yesterday during the snow day, so...
Yeah, that's a lot. Jesus.
But see, they're one of the gods packs, so you can sell those 40 packs for probably like 3 cents.
There's still about 3 tickets a show, I think. Probably a little more right now.
Next up, we have Jamie. Jamie, what did you do this week, Magic-wise?
I also did the 2 game days, but I did the reverse forward where I took down the first one and 2-2 the second. I also did GPT over the weekend and made top 4 in that.
Nice.
And that was about it.
So I kind of joined the crew as well. I did both of the game days. My first one, I went a lovely 0-4, and I stuck it out. I was running a new bug list that I wanted to try. After that, we all went and got some pho, and it was really good. And then after that, I went 3-1. So I think I took like 4th or 5th in the second one, only losing to Black-White because... You can't beat Blood Baron unless you have specific cards that beat Blood Baron. There's not a lot of overlap hate for that card, so I kind of was unprepared for that, and I promptly died to 1.
Toops, what did you lose to that made you book it?
Oh, we actually want to talk about this? No, I mean, I actually lost against Naya. I was playing Esper, as always, and the games were very close and very good games. You know, lost in the first round, realized I couldn't win the playmat, figured I'd spend my Saturday doing something else.
I continued.
The Naya list was pretty interesting. I mean, you would think that Voice and Domri and Co. would be very good against an Esper-type deck, but a lot of his threats matched up poorly against my answers. So, like, I thought seized him at one point, and he had 4, what are they called, Chain to the Rocks in hand against my creatureless deck.
That is awkward.
Oh, yeah, Ford's had a couple of Chain to the Rocks stuck in hand against me as well.
3, I think, is the most I've ever had stuck against you.
Set the full playset. And I lost that game, by the way. I had to take one of these Chain to the Rocks with a Thoughtseize, and then 4 or 5 turns later had to play an Elspeth and make 3 blockers to stay alive, and he had the 3 Chain to the Rocks.
I was going to say, please tell me he Chain to Rocks every single one of the tokens.
Oh, yeah. and at least he had, like... the showmanship to do it all at once. He just, like, slammed all 3, tapped 3 lands, and threw all 3 of them down at the same time and, like, scooped my tokens up. I was just like, yes, if you're going to make that play, that's the way you make that play.
Like I said, I was running a bug list. I was running Hooglin's list that he had talked about, and he's been kind of, you know, playing on the Star City circuits. I liked it. It had Kiora as pretty much the main win condition. I mean, it had Aetherling in the board. But Kiora is a really fun card. I really like it a lot. I love having Abrupt Decay. Abrupt Decay is a sick card. Getting to run a whole bunch of removal was really fun. And then getting to play Kiora and just, like, 3 turns later making a 9-9 every turn. Every time I ultimated her, I won, which is kind of assumed.
Help. Surprise, surprise!
I almost lost one because I was very low on life. And I had... another one that I could just play right after it and almost ticked that one up to ultimate. So that would have been fun. It was a good deck. Didn't do well at the beginning. I got paired up against another one of our teammates who was on, I believe, blue-white. and it didn't work out too well. We went to game three. They were pretty good games, but I couldn't beat an Elspeth that resolved eventually, so that kind of took the games over. Round two, I got paired up against a lovely Maze's End deck, which, for some reason, at our local shop, the meta there is like half Maze's End decks.
Isn't it just one Maze's End player?
There were at least two.
No. There's like three Maze's End decks, at least at our store.
I believe
there was more than that, but there was three confirmed Maze's Ends.
Yeah. Okay, and I only saw the one, so.
I was able to beat Maze's End in round one, and so both times I went 4-0 in a game day. My first round was beating Maze's End, so I hope to see it more in the first round.
Yeah, well, the only match I lost to when I did the 4-0 was in the finals when I had a mulligan to 4. That was the only round I lost, or match I lost. Round, sorry, that's the right one. And then aside from that, my deck was, I guess, traditional black-white, but I cut pack rats for extra removal because I figured there'd be a lot more green-red monsters or gen monsters running around there. And it worked pretty well. Especially
how good is Packrat in the green-red matchup? I haven't played that.
I don't like it because it's been said before, it feels like every time you're putting a Packrat down, they're going to most likely put a larger creature down, like the Polukranos, Stormbreath Dragon, or Domri to fight. They can't even block because if you put Domri down, they'll put Domri down and then they'll just fight Polukranos against Packrat and it's dead. So,
that and they've got Mizzium Orders, so they can, you know, eventually overload it if you can keep them under 4. So I can see that not being the best there.
Yeah.
I don't like the Pack Rat nowadays.
I mean, their weakest creature is their Cursor, and even that matches up well against the Pack Rat.
Yeah.
And you can't be ditching, like, 3 or 4 cards to get your Pack Rat huge, because you need to be 1-for-1-ing, like, every single creature they play. You need to kill it. Otherwise, they're just going to beat you. I mean, your demons get tapped by their mana dorks. You know, Blood Baron doesn't match up well against 5/5s. The only one who stands a chance is Obsidat, and then you're not flickering him, so he loses a little effectiveness that way.
Oh, yeah. I also don't know how much this is, but I've seen it in some, but it's gone away. But I brought Whip back in the main.
It's not terrible, but it's...
I get why it's... can be bad, but it was... I had fun time letting Obsidat die, bring it back with Whip, then having the Obsidat Whip triggers done correctly so that Obsidat exiles himself before the Whip trigger does, and so it can keep coming back. Which is a nice little trick you can do. And making Obsidat lifelink is just fun.
And if y'all running main deck Lifebane Zombies, I know that's something that's gotten kind of popular on Magic.
Yeah, definitely.
Jamie, how many did you have?
I had 3 in the main, 1 in the board, and there's very few games where they missed anything. And when they did, just seeing their card and knowing exactly how to play against them was amazing.
Yeah, I had, 3 and 1 as well.
It even hits, one thing that's really cool is it even hits like Xenagod, which is one of the harder permanents to deal with in black-white, or any other god for that matter, that has white in the casting cost. So, or green, that's true. I always forget that it actually hits other colors. But I guess that's the only way it hits Xenagod.
Yeah.
It's what green and white.
Taking a Afara or a Xenagod seems to. Like,
it's also a decent. I mean, since Blood Baron's becoming showing up more and more, it's also one of the good ways to deal with that in case they can load the board with creatures and Devour Flesh doesn't work against them.
That's what I got. I got the black white deck game one. I was able to just throw a Lifebane down and was expecting to hit nothing because he only had swamps on board, so. I thought he was on mono black, and, you know, oh, there's the Blood Baron. Oh, I get to take that. I'm glad I did, because if not, I'd be dead. So.
Yep. I'm just going to say, Blood Baron wins games. So many of the games I won were on the back of 1 or 2 Blood Barons.
As long as it's not against green.
Even against green.
I had a lot of Blood Barons against me. Didn't bother me. A lot of Faded Retributions on Blood Barons this weekend. It was fantastic.
Yeah. What'd you end up playing, Brock? I forgot.
Blue-white. I'm switched back to blue-white, and I'm never going back because I love blue-white. This is why I play control. It's awesome. And running 7 main deck counter spells, and it was pretty fantastic. I also mainboarded Celestial Flares, which overperformed the entire day. I'm real happy to have access to all 4 of them after board. So
So speaking of seven main deck counterspells, do you guys want to transition away from standard talk and get into modern? Because I'm excited to run my blue-white red deck with 11 main deck counterspells, which is kind of close to seven.
That sounds, yeah, it sounds a lot. I guess we can. I mean, does anybody else have anything you want to talk about standard? I mean, take it away then, Tubes. Tell me about your counterspells.
Well, actually, there is something kind of interesting about counterspells. Coming out of the Pro Tour, it seems like Remands have kind of been adopted into blue-white-red, but seeing the way the games play out in Modern, it's generally not that good unless you're running the guys' same draft version. So I threw in two Counterflux instead of those two Remands in the main deck, and they have just been amazing. Been playing against primarily blue-white-red and blue-red-ish Splinter Twin decks online, and just having them game one just completely can blow them out sometimes.
Yeah, having a bunch of counterspells in Modern seems good, especially as long as they're right along your curve as well. You know, I think before, you know, a lot of the decks were running, you know, Cryptic Command, but being able to have the counterspells along the curve as well, so you're not as, I guess, unprotected in the early turns from, especially the format being a little bit more aggressive now with, you know, zoo decks and creature decks coming back, you kind of need something to fight those. I'm guessing more counterspells is always the answer.
Well, there's so many one-for-ones in blue-white-red already, in the one and two-mana spot that get you to, you know, turns 4, 5, and 6, that being able to have a three-mana counterspell that just will always stop whatever you need to stop adds a little bit of utility to the deck.
Now, is blue-white-red running Anger of the Gods?
Oh, yeah. One main deck, one sideboard, generally. I've seen people go two main deck, dropping a Path to Exile, but I don't want to give up that much against Twin.
Brock.
Yes?
Tell me about how Tron's been treating you.
It was treating me real well, and then it didn't treat me so well today, but we're going to make a switch to the lands Toops had brought up to me today, that with the Blood Moon decks, we're running an extra forest in the main now, and then we're actually bringing in a Cavern of Souls main to help get your Worm Coils against all the blue-white-red. But
and
so far...
Red, but also blue-red as well. There's just a lot more counterspells now than there were a month and a half ago.
So that's some neat tech right there. But I'm definitely running the Emrakul main board, which has been proven real good against the control decks that I'm running on against on Modern, on Moto. Because they can't counter it. So once you get your eye and you set your turn up to eye for your Emrakul, then the game is pretty much over. The only thing I'm really worried about is Twin. I said that last time I was on, too. It's just Twin can actually just kill you after they untap, and you have no way to interact game one. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Going to be a hassle getting down there and playing and getting back and everything, but definitely looking forward to having a good time.
So. Quick question for you, Brock. Do you run Dismember?
No.
I haven't been looking too closely at Twin decks, but and I don't really recall seeing it, but just as far as ways to interact, it doesn't seem like the worst one against Twin.
That's true. I don't know about the main board is so structured already to make Tron as quick as you can. It's kind of hard to start pulling cards, but I guess it could definitely fill a sideboard slot.
Yeah, you have like one card you get to play around with main deck, and you've chosen to go with the Emrakul, so...
Yeah, that is my one card I get to play with. So I guess I have two because I'm running four Oblivion Stones instead of four Worm Coils. So
yeah,
that there's that one, but it pretty much only switches between Worm Coil and Oblivion Stone. So
yeah, I know the removal package has changed quite a bit. I'm switching over to Pod. I think if Tubes would have it his way, I would be playing Affinity still.
so
I think
let me just get into
team...
this real quick, John. I'm a huge proponent of just picking a deck and sticking with it. I think that a player that knows their deck will be able to beat a player who's playing the best deck. It just, there's that level of comfort that makes up for a little bit of power level. You know, I'll get on a deck and I'll stick with it for 6-7 months at a time. And so I'm not a big fan of switching decks, you know, the week before a tournament, especially one as complex as Pod.
So just to kind of fill everybody else in, I'm deathly afraid of Stony Silence. Like, the number of times that I have just completely lost games of Magic and rounds of Magic because of Stony Silence It has me so scared seeing Blue White Red coming back with kind of a resurgence. Like Toop said, it's all over online right now, and that card is just so good against Affinity. Like Kitaki out of the pod decks, you can kind of deal with that. Normally at that point, you have enough mana on board either through Mox Opals, which you're going to be getting rid of anyway because you'll have lands, and you can have like Springleaf Drums and stuff to use to throw away. But you have so many... You've kind of already extended at that point to the point where your creatures, you know which ones you want to keep around. So Kitaki's not that big of a deal. But against Stony Silence, like, half of your mana sources of color, your colored mana sources get turned off. So any sideboard cards you thought you would be able to play, so your Thoughtseize that you were hoping to get turn one, you get turn three, you can't cast it unless you have a Glimmer Void. It's just not... I don't know. I don't like playing against Stony Silence. I don't like that feeling of kind of feeling helpless. I know you can still win against the Stony Silence. I've done it once. I've been able to swing in with Blink Moth Nexuses in the sky 10 times in a row. It gets there. But literally any removal spell your opponent draws, and you're just dead.
So I guess I just don't see the merit of switching away from a deck that loses to Stony Silence to a deck that loses to Stony Silence.
Pod doesn't lose to Stony Silence in the same...
No, but it does make it harder.
It makes it harder, but you still have cards like Court of Calling. You still have cards like Ranger of Eos and Eternal Witness.
Are you keeping Court of Callings in games 2 and 3 for Blue, White, Red?
I'd like that card, yeah.
I definitely would not, because you want to be attacking with your creatures most times.
So just more creatures. So
yeah, John, we need to teach you how to play Pod, and this is, I think, what Toops is kind of talking about. Against decks with lots of removal and lots of like counter spells that can disrupt your combo, you board out of the combo, and that includes usually taking out the Cords of Calling and going down with a more beatdown plan and pulling in things like the Sin Collector and the Tumor Exarch, things that can like disrupt a little bit. I mean, Court of Calling is great and all, but like you spend your entire turn tapping, and you usually have to tap your creatures to get your bigger creatures. So if your creatures aren't attacking, like you're going to board out your Walls of Roots, right? And those are in there just to go with the cords and be part of the combo or to stem beatdown. So like it's a natural thing to kind of side those all out together. And in which case, yeah, Stony Silence is still good against you. But I've seen a lot of people even board out pods when they know Stony Silence is coming, like some number of pods, and you can kind of next level people that way too with it.
Yeah, but you have that option. That's the thing. It's still a deck that functions for the most part.
You don't actually have that option because if the game's going to go long, you're going to lose. I mean, between Sphinx's Revelation and Cryptic Command, like they're just going to be able to kill you. So you don't actually have that option, because by the time you get up to 5 or 6 mana to actually cord for something reasonable, you're dead.
Someone is playing Modo. Toops, are you double queuing on us?
No, it's not me.
No, that one's Ford.
It might be.
It's definitely a Brock. It's definitely a Brock.
I just finished my match like just before the podcast started. So.
No, I
haven't
played on Modo yet.
There's a lot of things you can do, but in terms of Stony Silence and Pod, most Pod players are not scared of Stony Silence in any way, near shape or form, the way that John Walls is afraid of this card. I guess he's having nightmares. We should get him a few, sneak him under his pillow, so when he wakes up, the first thing he sees in the morning is Stony Silence.
You guys, what you got to do is you got to get me a playmat. You got to get me a blank playmat and get an artist to just draw this big Stony Silence just beating the crap out of a Memnite, and just me over in the corner of the playmat just sobbing tears. And then I think I'd be okay.
You chose Memnite, as that's like the one creature in the deck without an activated ability.
I love Memnite, though. Oh, but yeah, I'm definitely afraid of the card. I'm still up in the air. I've been kind of goldfishing with Pod a bit. I'm a little bit more familiar with it than I was on this past weekend when Jamie literally stood over my shoulder and he tried so hard to just tell me what to do, and I didn't do it, and he got super frustrated. But I think Pod is definitely the better deck. If Blue-White-Red is going to be as big as I'm afraid it's going to be, I don't know if I want to be on Affinity. It's just...
I mean, to be honest, I'm not looking forward to playing Pod against Blue-White-Red. It's a really tough matchup, and you have to play it really, really tight in order to grind out the advantage.
Yeah, I mean, even against, like, Twin, I mean, you've got, you know, your, what's it, the Galvanic Blast is your removal to kind of hit their combo when they try and go for it. You've got Spellskites, but it's still, I mean, you've got Thoughtseize too, so I don't know.
Yeah, between Spellskite, Thoughtseize, and then I would definitely like Dismember more than Galvanic Blast.
I like Galvanic Blast because it can hit the face.
Wait, what? But where are these Galvanic Blasts coming from? You're talking about out of Affinity?
Yeah, you have one main and I want to say another one board.
So Affinity runs which blue cards, black cards, and red cards?
Mm-hmm.
And white cards sometimes.
Affinity's awesome. so ambitious.
Wait, if you're running all those colors, can't you just deal with Stony Silence?
No, because you have Mox Opal to cast all of those things. Mox Opal is
Glimmer Voids.
Yeah, which people have been cutting down on to put basics in the deck to deal with Path to Exile.
Yeah, and Blood it seems Moon. Like if your mana base is that shaky, like you wouldn't want to run sideboard cards of four colors.
Yeah, I mean the decks, like Toop said, you can run white. I believe white was for like Aethersworn Canonist and Revoke Existence. Yeah. You would have red for Galvanic Blast and not Anger of the Gods. The
Whip Flare.
There you go. Which is
I
not
just don't
as good
see
anymore.
Any reason to have Galvanic Blast in the deck. That's not what you're trying to do. The terrible versions that had like Frogmite and stuff like that needed Galvanic Blast to close out the game. But now that you have Master of Ethereums and Steel Overseers, along with 8 copies of the Manlands, like you just don't need that reach. And plus, if you're going on the Ink Moth beatdown and you've got them at like 7 poison, you draw Galvanic Blast. How sad are you?
Pretty sad. I mean, the deck that I ran when I top 8ed the PTQ with it didn't. It ran. I was running Frogmites. I was not running Steel Overseers.
That was also a year and a half ago.
Right. But
and you just ripped up your Frogmite.
I did before the cast. I'm actually playing with it. I can't help myself.
And nothing of value was lost.
So what other decks are there out there in Modern Land
that are good this week?
Yeah, some things to look out for.
I actually think that this might be a good weekend for Boggles to show up, just because Blue-White-Red isn't the greatest against it.
I'll run that shit. I will go out and buy Boggles.
Walls, you've got the biggest smile on your face. Why aren't you running Boggles?
The Boggles, the hexproof one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think, what was it? Sorry. Ruben was going to run that, I think.
Boggles is like Affinity that doesn't lose to Blue-White-Red. It's like it's a combo deck, but it's a combo deck in terms of it needs to cast creatures to win the game, similar to Affinity. It needs to just have these really powerful creatures very quick, but it's a little bit more resilient.
Actually, its creatures are not very powerful. They're actually pretty crappy.
Yeah.
Enchantments that get you.
Yeah, the things, the powers that you get are from, you know, was it Daybreak Coronet and Ethereal Armor? So Ranker, all of these,
yeah.
Yeah, Ranker, all of these.
I'm actually so scared of it that I'm putting 2 Ruined Halos in my sideboard, simply because like it's a versatile card. So it's white-white for a enchantment that when it comes into play, you name a card, and you basically have protection from that card. You can't be dealt damage by it. So like you name Slippery Boggle, and all of a sudden they might have, you know, a 12-12 life-linking vigilance hexproof trample guy, but it can't deal you damage. You know, the same thing goes for Valakut or Deceiver Exarch out of the Twin decks, you know. They can make all the tokens that they want, but they can't do damage to you.
That's a spicy card.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that against Twin.
It is a good card.
Travis Wu messing around with that a month or so ago?
God, I really hope not.
He was
like,
doing
I'm going to have to take him out of my sideboard now, if that's the case.
He was doing. It might not have been the sideboard, but it might have been like a deck enchantment deck associated with them, I think.
So, Ford, I know, are you heading down to Richmond with us?
There's a good chance right now if family stuff doesn't, again, come up this weekend, like which is why I was out last weekend, I should be down, and I shall be running the whatever I open in my 3 Born of the Gods, 3 Theros pack sealed events.
Nice.
Yep. Multiple of them. So, hopefully sealed. A few gods,
That sounds horrible.
A few gods? I mean, you know, why not wish for something reasonable?
One of the sealed things I had a Pharaoh, God of the Polis, and Karametra. So, in my pool.
So you had one playable card? Interesting.
And the other one was Daxos of Miletus, so I played a green-white-blue deck.
Splashing. She's just...
She's not worth splashing, but I had tons of stuff for white devotion, so...
I mean, any of the gods are pretty hard to deal with in limited, especially like if you play the two colors that it is. It's not that hard to activate them in this format.
Yeah, you guys should, take a look at our Twitter, VictoryCast, where I posted a nice little image of one of my board states with Porphyros on the floor, getting him getting him down and active on turn 5 with a nice little fun red enchantments I was having fun with.
Yeah, so I want to just point out to everybody, we will be at Richmond. The majority of us will be. Like Ford said, he might be able to make it down there. I know Brock's planning on making it down there. If you guys... Yeah, Brock's got a baby coming.
If you see a giant guy with an orange hat and crutches, you'll know who he is.
I will be crutching.
And I'll be the loud, opinionated one next to him, apparently.
And I will
as usual, I'll be too short to be in the scene.
If you want to see us, that sounds creepy. If you're in Richmond and you see us, come say hi. We will not have team shirts because...
But we will sign stuff if you want that.
We need to get team shirts at some point. We want to, but...
I guess I'll break this one on air then. I actually spoke to Jeff, the owner of Victory Comics, the store where we all play at and met at, and he actually has ordered team shirts.
Oh. Woo!
What?
Yeah. Awesome.
You heard it here first.
We will have team shirts.
I was going to save that one for after the cast, but I figure I'll go ahead and break it on air. It's a pretty plain design. He's looking at getting playmats and sleeves as well if the shirts prove to be popular.
This is clapping. This is me excited about that.
I might have to retire all my other playmats.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
So yeah, a big shout out to Victory Comics in Northern Virginia. If you're in the area, stop by. It's truthfully one of the best game stores I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And we all hang out there and play Magic there, so we normally have a bunch of different stuff on us. Stop by and play Modern, stop by and play Legacy.
Stop by and play a bunch of different formats of Limited.
Commander, I think Jamie and Jake are starting to get back into Commander, scary.
Bird Wizards.
And I'll be there for at least 45 minutes of the first tournament.
Until he loses and then walks away upset.
Not upset, no, just, wanted to spend my Saturday differently.
Okay, so do we want to talk anything more about Richmond? It should be a good time. I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, it is like a gigantic Modern tournament. It's like what, almost 3,000 people now?
Largest constructed.
Yeah, they already registered. There's what, 3,000 something, and they're cutting it off at 5,000, from what I've heard.
They're cutting it off.
Yeah, if they can get to 5,000, that would be ridiculous.
I think that's what it said on the website.
I can't register until Friday afternoon.
You'll be fine. 2,000 people to go, Brock.
I would just like to point out that Ben Blywis of Star City Games is fairly active on the internet and was asked if he was going to take the success of the pre-registration of the Modern Grand Prix into consideration for thinking about Modern Star City events for the next year. And he gave the most wonderful non-answer I've ever heard, where he basically just said, we all want to focus on Grand Prix Richmond right now, so let's not talk about that.
Very political, very political.
Good answer. I've given a few of those.
Yeah, it brought me back to my days on the Hill. I was just like, wow, that was the best non-answer I've heard in quite some years.
I've given a few of those in my life.
I hope that's just a no, and we just get to continue to play Legacy.
I would like them to bring back at least one like main events team sealed.
I mean, they're going to keep that in the classics for now.
Team sealed is awesome. Yep. Sad we missed the last one.
So no more Modern?
I was telling you, Modern. So this is the biggest Modern GP, and the last time I went to the biggest Modern GP, I day two'd, so I'm quite excited about this event.
I thought that Grand Prix Chicago was larger than Grand Prix Detroit.
No, Grand Prix Detroit was the largest modern constructed modern tournament when I played in it, and I day two'd it. Yeah, go me.
Shows what I know. So yeah, if that's all for modern, I just want to say that it was a banner week for Magic Online. Nothing broke except for the thing that hadn't broken in 12 years. So Clan Invites decided that they wanted to crap out for some reason, and no one knows, but it's Magic Online, so.
What are clans on Magic Online? I have never been able to figure that out.
A group of players, and they're invite only, so like you message whoever is in charge of it, and it gets you a special chat room that only clan members can get into.
So, in the case of some clans, it's just literally just send an invite and it's a billion people. Yeah, like limited resources. Basically, if anyone who sends an invite to Marshall, they get instantly invited and added in.
Well, not
I'm
instantly.
A member. Oh, it's pretty instant if he's online.
Yeah,
I've never
if he's
had
online,
a delay.
Yeah, he's online.
It's like 4,500 people in that right now, it's but the then biggest. There's some smaller ones. I mean, all the way down to just, you know, like six or so people.
Yeah, there are some really popular ones, or I shouldn't say popular, like famous ones where like a lot of people like just make a team, kind of like Team Victory, and they use that for their play testing, chatting, and things like that. Hmm. Other clans, there's like online events on Modo that aren't actually sponsored by Wizards that actually the players organize and do, and sometimes you need to be a member of the clan in order to be in that chat room to make everything a lot easier to communicate. So there's lots of different uses to clans, but it's basically like a chat room.
Okay.
Oh, and then there are also leagues where you can... that's right. Wizards took that away.
Oh, you just got me so excited I almost jumped through the thing. I was going to just scream. Glad that you prefaced that with it didn't come back.
But according to Worth, you know, we're going to get leagues back sometime eventually.
Dude that's been on the Magic like list forever on Modo. We're looking into it because everybody loves them and would want them back. We've been looking at it forever, but we haven't done anything in like what, six years since the last time I played?
Well, they've been literally working on the beta client. For
really? Doesn't show.
I know, but that's what they're gonna say.
Oh, I'm so angry now. You got me going with leagues. That was the most fun time I've ever had playing Magic.
Okay, for someone who didn't get into what were leagues?
All right, so leagues was kind of fun. It's like a sealed event. I don't remember exactly how many packs you got, but you got some number of packs, and you had to make a deck. And then you could play against people, and like your first three matches actually counted like for your win-loss for that week. And then after that, you can play as much as you like as fun, and the games after that were kind of like for tiebreakers. And then I think at a time period of like a week, you were allowed to like buy another pack to enhance your deck. And so the leagues lasted for like a month for like very minimal investment, and it was like playing limited with the same deck for a while. So it was really good to get people into Magic. It was a really good, just cheaper way to play, you know, play in a more casual, fun environment. Did I get any of that wrong, Tubes? Because it's been 6 years.
No, that's right. And there was actually decent price support for it, too. I mean, it was a pretty good EV event. So, I mean, it was like a universal outcry when it was taken away. Just like there was no one saying, maybe we should do away with leagues. Just not at all.
Yeah, I don't know what Wizard's reasoning for taking away like their most popular thing was, but I assume it had something
to do with
money.
I mean, it's the same reason we still have 4322s and not 5322s, you know, because they can.
Final shout out to Team Victory, taking down the game days.
Two game day playmats with rampaging Minotaur hordes on them.
Brock got one
too. Oh yeah, three.
And apparently Brock took down Secret Spot, and I actually didn't officially get a playmat, but I did 4-0 the first event, and felt bad that Kevin was not a champio, so. He was also 4-0, and I just decided not to play him for the playmat. So
have all the important people in the group been champions then? So, like, what, everybody but John, right?
Well, he can't stay on the same deck for more than, like, you know, half a week, so that might have something to do with it.
That's generous. I was going to say 30 seconds.
I change decks. I audible decks. The good thing is that in Legacy, I can audible decks, and it works. I can take a deck and I can audible to it. That's why I've been playing all those terrible Legacy decks for so long, because who knows, that random ass Tezzerator deck could be metagame extraordinaire for 1 week.
Oh, there should definitely be a Tezzerator Modern deck.
I actually was thinking about that.
Tezzerator's so badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's none of the support cards are there.
Sure there are.
You've got there's not enough Staxy effects in Modern.
And there's no Chromox.
There's Chalice, right?
Yeah, there's Chalice.
The one mana spells that matter in Modern aren't the one mana spells that matter in
Legacy,
yeah. And there's no way to cast them on turn one. So, like, you get a Chalice for one on turn two, and you get to stop a Lightning Bolt.
Are you kidding me? Don't tell me you can't cast a two drop on turn one with artifacts. Because that's definitely wrong.
You could, but you'd have to run your good friend Memnite.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can turn him into a 5/5.
That's yeah, true. And Tezzeret's just worse than, like, Master of Aetherium. It's another mana and another color of mana.
Yeah, so
actually,
but
that
also...
is kind of weird. Why is Tezzeret good in, like, Legacy Affinity, but not good in Modern Affinity?
Because you have Artifact Lands?
Artifact Lands in Legacy.
That's it. I knew there was a good reason. Yeah, that makes sense. That probably makes a huge difference right there.
You also have the Soul
I guess you
lands.
Get Darksteel Citadel, right? You get to keep that one.
That's the only one.
Which really helps you cast your blue-black spell.
So, yeah.
Yep, breaking down Affinity yet again.
That's gonna be it for us tonight. I don't think we need to talk about Affinity anymore.
Or ever again.
Or ever again. And by ever again, I mean next week we'll probably talk about how I ran it. And how it did.
And day two'd and took shit down.
And how awesome.
Top 8 the GP.
What, and this how one? You won the GP.
What is it? Anyone who tops 8 in this one because of the size gets the Pro Tour invite, right?
No,
it's deeper than that. Anyone in the top, like, 150 at when it was at 2,000, so it might even be deeper now.
No, that's prize payout. Prize payout goes down to 150. It's 39 points or 36 points.
One of those. Oh, it was 39 points, yeah.
Yeah, 39 match points.
Is 39 match points is Pro Tour.
So if you're 13-2 and don't make top 8, you get a Pro Tour invite.
Okay, so.
All you gotta do is 13-2.
Just go 13-2. It's easy money.
Or just
I mean, will it go deeper than 15 if we get closer to, say, 5,000 people?
I mean, if we get to 5,000 people, yeah. I think that there were 16 invites given out of Vegas, which was 4,200.
They're saying about it's been about 400 to 500 people have been signing up a day, so.
Yeah.
It's definitely possible.
Well, Brock, I think the odds are stacked against you between not being able to walk and register until Friday.
Yeah, wait, Brock, why can't you register until Friday?
Because if I go to the doctors on Friday morning and they say, hey, baby might be coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then I'm not going to waste my money registering when I can't leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at VictoryCast. If you want to send us an email with any questions, concerns, comments, if you would play Affinity over Pod or any other deck, tell us what you're going to run in Modern. Shoot us an email at coalitionvictorymtg@gmail.com. That'll all be in the show notes, as well as all of our personal Twitter accounts, which you can follow us at. We're Team Victory, and thanks for listening.
Have a good night.
Wait, but little things like that add flavor to the podcast.
No, they don't. They make him seem confused and high.